Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good Thursday morning, July 22nd. And yes, Mark Grody is back for more. Good morning, Mark.
Everybody's yelling at me lately.
I know.
My God, boy, yesterday, I thought today was a new day. I got grobber all over me, just coming in hot. You know, I'm having a few sips of my coffee, trying to warm up into the day. I mean, what did I do?
Well, I feel kind of bad. I interrupted. We have to start our show at 5 o'clock, and you and Les were just entertaining us for the previous 15 minutes. I wanted that to keep going. I wanted to know more about Braniff Airlines.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to hear more about his thoughts about the inane 10th inning rule in baseball.
God, he is hot for that. I mean, I will give him credit. That man is consistent about his hate for anything new that happens in sports.
And you seem to be fuel to his fire.
I am. I knew I had, once he was hating on the man at second base in the 7-inning doubleheaders, I knew I had to switch it to the designated hitter as quickly as possible. I actually thought there was a glimmer of hope that Grauber had come into enjoying or accepting the DH, but not even close.
Not today.
Yeah.
He sounded like he got off to a rocky start because the show started late because the Cubs went late.
They did. Yeah, and maybe, they didn't win.
Maybe Les was a little grouchy because of that.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, Les gets mad. I mean, that's money out of his pocket. He misses those first 10, and that's $1.50
right
there. But
the thing is, though, when he gets that way, it becomes even more endearing, and he's interesting.
Absolutely.
And it's a lot of fun.
And at the end of it, Les and I usually – come out of it okay, unless it is arguing over whether or not he's going to the Super Bowl. Then he tends to be angry the next day.
And that usually, the fact that you have to couch it and it's conditional makes it more interesting every time you talk to
right,
him.
Right, and he's on to me, and he thinks that I'm antagonizing. I don't know where he gets that stuff.
So that was fun, and we have a lot to get to today. There was a lot that happened last night. It wasn't quite as busy as the night that Milwaukee celebrated its NBA title a couple nights ago and made history with Giannis. There wasn't as much going on last night, but there was enough and some things that were surprising. We will get to the Yerminator. We will get to the Cubs and the White Sox. I want to get to this, though, because during the Les segment, I did not realize, Mark Grody, you have never been to Seattle?
Never.
All your years as, covering sports,
right,
doing radio, man about town. Never been to Seattle.
Never have been that way, even. Like, I've never been to Seattle. The Cubs, in my 3 years doing Cubs pre and post, never once did they have a series in Seattle. Even back when I was covering and doing some traveling with the White Sox, never happed upon a Seattle series. So it's a little bit disappointing. The Bears are actually at Seattle this year. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to make that trip. So
see, I looked at that in the schedule, and those are the kind of games you kind of, in the back of your mind, if you don't typically go to games, you think, oh, I want to go to that one.
Because yeah, that's the
Seattle's
one
a great city.
Yes.
You need to
I've
do
heard.
Yourself a favor and find time sometime, whether it's the Bears or other reasons to get out there, because it's cool. It's a cool place to visit. And why it's in the news, this is sort of related to a sports thought. Yesterday, they unleashed the Kraken.
The Kraken.
The Kraken.
Yes.
The 32nd NHL team had its expansion draft. And I know, just humor me for a second, because I know that not a lot of people in Chicago were probably paying attention to it. I kind of was.
Really?
I kind of got drawn in.
Tell us everything.
And it wasn't because the Hawks lost John Quenneville to the expansion draft in the
Once
Kraken.
Once removed.
But did you see Sean Kemp and Gary Payton
glove
in Kraken t-shirts.
No.
Part of the ceremony, part of the whole thing that they had in sort of launching the expansion draft. Sean Kemp was.
Is he huge?
Well, he's a big man anyway.
Yeah, great big
he's
dude.
He's bigger now.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a schmedium. I mean, they
That's
needed to give him a triple XL.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a schmedium Kraken t-shirt and mispronouncing names of hockey players that the Kraken were drafting. It was
That's incredible.
Irresistible.
They must have been paid handsomely to do that. You know what I mean? Like, if you're saying he's mispronouncing games or names, obviously he doesn't care too much about hockey, but they are some of the great sons of
they
Seattle.
Are.
Was Ken Griffey Jr.
I don't
out
think
there?
He was. I did not see him. I did not see Jr. as part of the pomp and circumstance.
The Kraken.
And there was a lot. And now I have to say this to close the loop on the Kraken. You know, you always have these jobs that are sort of in the back of your mind. I'm not now, but like you romanticize, boy, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Being the beat writer for the expansion Seattle Kraken would be one of the best sports writing jobs in America next year.
Because everything's new, right?
Everything's new.
It's all shiny.
It's
like
hockey.
You could set sort of the tone.
It's fun.
And nobody really understands what's going on. So you're sort of guiding people through hockey as it is, like teaching them the
you're
game.
You're like Richard
and the
Branson in a spaceship.
Yeah.
You're taking people where they have never gone before.
That's such a great point. Yeah, and you're like it's not the same story over and over. Like, you get to do the story the first time that you'll probably do again, like, the next year.
And you're in
after.
Seattle, Grody. And
yeah.
You're in Seattle. The coffee's great. The scenery's better. And it just feels like it is a great place
Dude,
to be.
Listen, a couple things. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a huge grunge fan.
Yeah,
and that is where grunge was born.
Exactly.
And Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Nirvana and all those groups. I'm a huge coffee guy, 5 to 6 cups a day if I can. So, yeah, I truly believe that there is something in my soul in Seattle, and it's possible that I will maybe during the bye week. Maybe I'll start planning a trip to Seattle right now during the NFL bye week.
If I don't get there for the Bears-Seahawks and the Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson game, which I think is going to be must-watch television.
There it is.
I do want to get out there for a Kraken game now.
Yeah.
I do want to get out to Seattle for that purpose. I want to see what Seattle hockey is like.
You know what? It's funny.
The novelty.
Every single time that there's been an expansion team added to the mostly like Carolina and Florida and those cities or those towns or whatever individual cities there, they get behind them, man. They go create like Nashville even for that matter.
Vegas was a great example.
Amen.
They embraced hockey in a way that I don't think anybody expected. But we digress. Thank you for that brief diversion.
Absolutely.
To the Pacific Northwest. There was a lot going on here in Chicago baseball-wise. The games, certainly Cubs and Sox lost. We'll get to the details throughout the course of today's program. But there was a headline that stole the spotlight away from what was going on the field. Down in Charlotte, on your computer, on Instagram, your mean Mercedes, Mr. April, he basically broke some news. And it was very unusual to see see what he had to say. But he had a post that he apologized and essentially said it's over, right? That was the post. It's over. And your mean Mercedes inching toward retirement, considering retirement, there's a lot more to this story. That's what my instinct is. There's got to be more than just baseball contributing to this decision. But yeah, your mean Mercedes is pondering retirement for baseball.
Is it desperation? That's what's going through my head right now. Is this his last straw to try to get back onto the big league team or a cry for help, so to speak, as in he is – like, you got to think about what the highs and the lows of your mean Mercedes. When he comes up and did what he did that week of April where he hits .415, 5 homers, 16 RBIs in 22 games, and he is living life, and he's the king of Chicago. He's coming on the score a couple of times, and everybody loves your mean. He was getting the biggest cheers of anybody and doing legitimate things, and then the bottom falls out. He didn't just have a slump where you readjust, and then you go back in there, and you sort of become average. He became horrible to the point where they had to send him down. So the highs and the lows, and here he is, what, 29 years old, And back in the minors, it's just got to suck after riding that high. So now I don't know what
it's humbling. It's humbling.
Jarring. I think it is humbling, and he's not handling the humbling very well.
Well, unless this is what he definitely wants. I don't think that it seems like an overreaction to adversity, but yeah. I think it's easy to say without knowing what else is contributing to this decision. It's got to be more than the fact that he can't catch up to a fastball anymore,
probably,
right?
Probably right. Yeah, because you would think that he could readjust. He's not 35. Like, if he was like the old Bobby Scales rookie with – how did I just pull Bobby Scales' name out of my brain?
That was, I don't know.
I feel good about
Where
that for
did that
some
come
reason.
From?
Yeah, because he was like – remember he was 36 or something like that?
You had a Mike Krukow reference at 455, and now
less.
You're going Bobby Scales.
Wow, I mean, sometimes –
And Rick Rushell thrown in there for good measure.
That was awesome.
That was for me.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Rick Rushell was a good hitter, so it didn't help my point at all.
Obviously, there are White Sox fans out there. There are baseball people that will attach – your mean Mercedes going on Instagram and saying it's over with Tony La Russa calling your mean Mercedes clueless after this 3-0 incident back in May. We'll talk about whether or not that's a fair comparison or a fair thing to do or not. I don't believe there's as tight of a connection as some people want to make. But Tony La Russa, naturally, after last night's loss to the Twins, 7-2, Dylan Cease was the loser in that game. But Tony La Russa was asked about Yermín Mercedes going on Instagram and announcing it's over.
Tony, what's your reaction to the news about Yermín stepping away?
Well, I just heard about it. So I haven't had a lot of time to think about it. I just kind of understand that, you know, you're in AAA and you had a taste of the big leagues and you can get emotional. And I don't know more than that. Probably will reach out to him. As you know, you probably know if you're paying attention, several times he said how close we were. He knows I'm a supporter of his, so I'll reach out to him and see what's going on. It could be he's just a little frustrated, and I'll try to explain to him he's got a big league future.
He sounded like somebody who was genuinely caught off guard, and he also referenced the fact that he knows that Yermín Mercedes knows that he has Tony La Russa's support. So I don't get necessarily, and I don't buy the notion that Tony La Russa, as somebody tweeted at me, drove Mercedes into retirement. And they used that pun intentionally.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. It's so weird because the first thought is he's angry. He wants to get this out in public. He's pissed that he got sent down. But then he's apologizing to people. You know, I want to apologize to all those who I inadvertently offended as a consequence of my, I can't even read my own handwriting, but the members of radio, television, and press that he
the media. He apologized to the media.
What,
Mark, that's
what?
Why when we talk about this in terms of, you know, we're talking about him retiring and as if there's a conclusion to the story, there's a lot we don't know. It implies that there's something else that's going on here that I think that he alludes to things that he assumes people understand. And I don't know. I don't know what it is he's referring to. And could this be part of a language barrier? Could this be something lost in translation? I'm not sure about that either. There's a lot of things that are unknown to the point where the White Sox are also in the dark, if you will, because they issued a statement during the game. They were aware of this, but they were trying to find out more about it, and they hadn't talked to him yet. So he hadn't officially notified the White Sox of his retirement. There just seems to be a lot of things in a state of flux.
Yeah, and Tony said in that soundbite we just heard that, and it is the first thought, that maybe he's just frustrated and he doesn't know what to do, and this is a public cry for help is the right word. Let me be heard. I've got some things to say. So hopefully I hope there's more to it. Like, I hope like Mercedes has more to say to clarify, to fill in the blanks, and to personally apologize to you and
I don't need an apology. You might.
Yeah.
You're kind of like that.
I said that he was going to stick the rest of this year.
That's right. You kind of like, you hold those grudges.
Yeah.
That's why you and Les have that thing
exactly.
going.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you could join transition on the overhead.
That would be awesome. The Yerminator, the Grobber.
How do you
and
feel
Grody.
About the? Yeah. You want Yerminator to not have a job? He's the DA.
That sounds like a crazy morning zoo.
Oh, my God.
The Yerminator, Grobber, and Grody.
Oh, my God. Mitch, Sign us up. Let's go.
You know, he's hitting 309 in Charlotte, so it's not like he is stinking it up in AAA.
That's interesting. That makes it even more interesting. What, yeah. What about the power numbers? I didn't look at that.
Power numbers, 4 home runs, I believe. Okay. So he's not 10 runs batted.
All right.
In.
I mean, he's been fine then. So he has, like, the bottom has not dropped out.
655 he's, slugging.
Okay. I mean,
so he's there. Fine. Yeah. You know, it's not as if he's falling on his face down at AAA.
Right.
So we've got that to kick around and examine and talk about. We've got the White Sox losing 7-2 to the Twins. Max Kepler hit the homer in the third. Dylan Cease now 0-3 in his last 4 starts. Are Sox fans concerned? You know, the Cubs, that game went late. We alluded to that. Sogard ties it up. It goes extras. And then Yadi walks it off against Craig Kimbrel. And Yadi had the...
The double the right field.
The double to right.
Yeah, just hit it over the head of the right field of Hayward.
But they were in that situation, and it was a game winner instead of the tying run because of Anthony Rizzo's brain spasm in the top of the inning.
Yep. Yeah, got caught in the rundown. Yeah, it was an unfortunate – I guess it goes down as a double play. But, yeah, it was it should have been – what it should have been was a double play with Anthony Rizzo standing on third with 2 outs. Because it was a hit to the shortstop, right? So it should have been...
Ground ball to the shortstop.
Right.
When I watched the replay this morning, because I did not stay up to watch that, I had, obviously, for obvious reasons, the first thing I thought was, Wilson Contreras is not going to like that. I mean...
You're not going to like... Yeah, you're going to be in
Wilson... Because that's a lack of focus and concentration.
Yeah, Contreras is going to be in Contreras' doghouse for a little while. Yeah, they had Cubs of 3 guys thrown out of the plate yesterday.
Bad base running.
Yeah.
And bad focus.
And Rizzo knew it. At least he allowed the runner to get to second base.
And they were in that position because of bad defense. You know, with Kyle Hendricks being as good as he was, he deserved better. So Anthony Rizzo, only with 3 runs batted in the month of July, he's got to be better too. You wonder all of this. We'll get to it. I think that it could be related to the fact that, you know, their season was basically declared over 2 weeks ago today. And they have responded, you know, like they listened. Like
yeah, they heard well, Jed Hoyer well, loud except and clear. For the ninth innings. You know, they've decided that they're going to put on a show in the ninth for the last couple
Got
of days.
Got some Olympic news to talk about, some Bear stuff. Eddie Goldman, according to the Tribune, plans to report to training camp. There is a lot to get to. We've got some good guests. Tommy Hodvey will join us today. We're going to go to Japan. Our man in Japan, Bob Vassilopoulos, will join us at 6:40. And we'll talk to Gord Whitmire on the Cubs. Mark Grody in for Mike Mulligan today. We have the 5 at 5 next. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Jermaine Mercedes, once referred to as our producer Dustin as, quote, the round mound pound, said on his Instagram page that, quote, it's over, and stripped it of White Sox mentions. Do you believe he's really retired, or will the Yerminator soon be taking to Instagram with this message?
I'll be back.
Do you hold Tony La Russa at all responsible if he is, in fact, done?
Well done, Ray. The Yerminator, will he be back? I don't think it's fair to blame Tony La Russa or hold him responsible for this decision by Yermín Mercedes. I think that's a leap that's not fair to take. Yermín Mercedes is a professional athlete. He was called out by his manager. He was called clueless publicly. He went into a bit of a tailspin offensively. I think that coincided with pitchers catching up with him. I think two things can be true. You can say think that Tony La Russa crossed the line by publicly calling out a player like that in a way that I thought was over the top, an overreaction. And I don't think you should call your player – you should have your players back in situations like that. But I think it also can be true that this is Yermín Mercedes' decision, and it wasn't related or connected to his feelings being hurt, his ego being bruised by what Tony La Russa said. He's been through worse than this. He's a 29-year-old rookie. He has been, you know, on his way to the majors for 10 years. He has overcome adversity before. He has a taste of success, and now he's suddenly going to wither and go away because he doesn't like the way that he was treated in Chicago. I don't know about that. I don't know if that is again fair to make those assumptions. I think it's somewhat lazy. Because, yeah, you could look at that and you could suggest that, but I don't think that that is the case. I do agree with what Chris Emma tweeted, our guy from The Score.
I didn't hear it. What'd he say?
If this is indeed the end of Yermín Mercedes' Major League Baseball career, he had the most memorable 69-game career in baseball history. Well put.
Yeah.
Well said.
Right.
But yeah. I don't think this is the end. I think that the cooler heads will prevail. I have a hard time envisioning why he would walk away now that he is so close. I don't know that means he's going to be on the White Sox playoff roster, but I do think that he probably does have a future in Major League Baseball the way that Tony La Russa mentioned after the game.
There's no way he's retiring. A guy doesn't, you know, go this hard for this long at 28 or 29 years of age, get a taste of Major League Baseball in a big, huge, splashy way, like all over the course of a few months, and then say, that's it, I'm going to retire. I can't handle it. I mean, he proved to himself that he could not only make a major league roster, but that he could thrive on it. So it would truly shock me if he was to go through with this. If Tony La Russa is responsible for his downfall, then I'm sorry. Then he's just weak. Then he is not strong enough mentally to play in the big leagues. Yeah, I agree with you, Haw. The way La Russa handled it was not good. Ego bruise, yes, but if there's some sort of lasting effect due to this, then that is absolutely ridiculous. I wouldn't want him on my team anyway. And I talked about it earlier, too. I mean, the extreme highs and lows going from being the guy on a potential playoff championship team. He was the guy to being demoted. You know, the great April and then kind of started to slide in May and June, and he's gone. By July, the guy is gone. And then the cryptic, I want to apologize to all of those who I inadvertently offended as a consequence of my immaturity.
What I don't know.
There's more to this.
That's the part of the story that we don't know. And that's going to probably help answer a lot of these questions.
Right. What did you do other than showing up late? All right, round mound, what you got?
Well, I did like
the round mound of pound.
Oh, it was great, Dustin. That right? is awesome.
I was the pennant waiver for that guy. He was a great story. I'm wondering if this is a situation where he's so missing the spotlight that he can't handle being not in the spotlight. And now what has this done? This has put him back in the spotlight. This is not only a story in Chicago. If you look at the four-letter network website, if you look at other websites out there, it's a top 5 or 10 story today nationally that this guy, because
the round mound of sound, it's echoed loudly.
Because he captured baseball's imagination. Here's another thing, though. The Sox were desperate for help at catcher, right?
Yeah.
At one point.
Right.
And he's still a catcher, supposedly.
Yeah.
Is he catching it all in this in the minor league? Like, he's I almost feel like we need to reach somebody that was covering him. And we talked about it to get some rehab notes on reports on guys like Robert and guys like, Aloy. But maybe we need to find out if he was catching and maybe he can't catch, or maybe he can catch and they're not bringing him up. There was an incident where he was late.
Yeah.
He was late.
Got benched.
And that kind of got brushed aside because he was doing so well. And maybe that's one of those things that he's mentioning as far as being immature and not holding up his end of the bargain.
You think we need to get a Wes Helms on the phone? You think we need to get the Charlotte Knights manager?
Yeah.
See what kind of guy. Teammate that you mean Mercedes was?
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Yeah, I think that he served his punishment for that. I just don't know why he would owe us an apology, like the media.
Yeah, I don't know why he would owe
unless he wants to apologize to everybody through the media. Who knows what he meant?
Who knows what he meant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
It's only July, but with the day off today, the Sox can start preparing for the weekend series in Milwaukee against the Brewers, where the pitching matchups could be a glimpse of what to expect in October at the I-94 World Series. How should the Sox view this upcoming series with the Brewers? Since there's no DH, can we give up on the pipe dream of calling up Eloy Jimenez before Friday?
By the way, the I-94 World Series does not have a ring to it.
Doesn't have a ring to it?
No.
It
would be a great World Series, but like forcing the I-94 World, I don't know about that. So I'm sorry to.
Well, how else are you going to get there, Grody?
Yeah, well, no, you're
not
right.
All of us have like a helicopter at our disposal.
I just want a more creative name than the highway that leads to Milwaukee. But the pitching matchups are, man. Freddie Peralta against Lucas Giolito, Carlos Rodon against Corbin Burns. And then Lance Lynn against Brandon Woodruff. So that's going to be high entertainment. And I've heard so many Sox fans, a lot of the Sox fans on this station that are going to be making the travel there, and a lot of people that are going to be going to this. So I think it's going to be a blast. Yes, of course, this could be a I think the Sox have a much better chance of going to the World Series than the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, they're going to have to augment by the trade deadline more than what the Sox would have to do. So I think that the Sox will do their part. I'm not as convinced that Milwaukee will. But, no, it would be a total and complete blast, and Milwaukee would just blow up because of already having won the NBA title. What was the other part? How should the Sox view this upcoming series with the Brewers? We did that. Since there's no DH, can we give up on the pipe dream of calling up Eloy Jimenez before Friday? Nope, don't give up on it, man. I think that would be a straight-up blast just to have him there to be part of, to be in the dugout and see his smiling
pinch hitter
face.
Waiting. Yeah.
Sure, have him, like, unlike Chris Bryant, who apparently, you know, wasn't even the fatigue in his
hamstring. Oh, we'll get to that.
He was fast asleep in the dugout last night.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think it would be a great story and a great time, especially with all the attention this series will get. To have Eloy there, yes, yes, yes.
Ozzie says he could be available to pick him up at Midway or O'Hare.
Yeah, that's right.
And take him up I-94.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the World Series preview.
Topic.
Look, I don't know that the Sox look at this series any bigger than maybe they did the Astros series when they felt like they hadn't beaten them yet. But I do think the fans will view this in a way that it feels special. It feels different. It feels like something bigger than just a typical series in July. And that's okay because that's what we do. They have a day off to start looking toward it. You wonder if they were looking toward it last night based on the fact they lost to the Twins and the Twins stink. But I love the possibilities here. And I would, you mentioned the matchups. I'm looking most forward to, because you could pick anyone and not be wrong, but Woodruff and Lance Lynn in the finale, that is going to be so much fun. And I would debate you, Grody. Uh-huh. I think that the Brewers, even though they have flaws, the reason they feel like in Milwaukee they probably can get to the World Series is for the same reasons generally that the White Sox do. Their starting pitching can dominate and win any series they're in. And they have the three guys that we're going to see this weekend, the basis for that thought process in Milwaukee, because the three guys that are going for the White Sox make you believe that's why the Sox feel so good about their chances. Starting pitching wins in October.
No, that's a great point. There is it's just that those teams out in the National League West with San Fran, the Dodgers, and San Diego, they're just a notch above everybody else. But, yeah, no, you cannot deny that the Milwaukee, those top three starters are excellent.
And what Milwaukee did, what the White Sox are trying to do and other teams want to mimic, they made the trade already before the deadline. Willy Adames has made an impact on that team and made them more legitimate.
I know I'm looking forward to it, but I hope the Sox are, and I hope they learn from that. Nobody gives a you-know-what when they got swept in Houston, and then they did play better against the Astros here in town where they won 2 of 3. But that first game, it looked like they were asleep on that Friday. So I hope that this does mean something. And again, the idea of the no DH, I think that's what's also interesting from the stand. Again, I like the DH. I'm with you, Mark. I don't want to watch pitchers hit, but that's not going to change for this year's postseason. So if the Sox get to where they want to get to, which is a postseason, and they will play against National League teams, the pitchers will have to hit. There won't be a DH in the World Series in that situation, right? So use this as a measuring stick. Take this seriously.
Yep.
And with the pitchers that are going this weekend, it should be taken serious. I mean, that Sunday matchup, that's awesome. I mean, too bad it's Sunday night baseball.
I know.
I'd rather it be Sunday afternoon baseball.
It's a really good point about the DH, though, and how the Sox can look at this as kind of a practice run for the World Series, really, because they're in a National League park.
You guys think it'll be like back in the day when it was half Cubs fans, half Brewers fans? Like, will the Sox fans travel as well as the Cubs fans?
That's a great question.
I feel like they might.
I've heard of some really good Sox fans that are going up there this weekend, driving back and forth because it's an easy ride.
And by the way, just to close the loop on the Mercedes question, so in Charlotte this season, he has been there, I think, for 14 games, according to Baseball Reference, and he has caught 8 games. So he has been behind the plate in 8 of the 14 games that he's played.
That surprises me, because I thought they sort of viewed him the way the Cubs viewed Schwarber as a catcher, like as in
good
not
comp.
A catcher. Yeah.
Those are tough questions to answer, because it's like, what do I say to that?
Chris Bryant got the night off Wednesday to rest his fatigued hamstring, and David Ross acknowledged late Tuesday he enjoyed knowing that Bryant's removal from the game would cause reporters to chase down trade rumors. But seriously, if the Cubs are that open about Bryant's potential trade possibilities, why don't they just shut him down until after the trade deadline by placing him on the 10-day injured list? Would that be smart, or branding Bryant fragile?
Well, I think it would be smart at this point. And I think that if he's not going to be available, and apparently he wasn't last night, would you agree that they needed him? Would you agree that he could have made an impact?
They brought up Cironas.
You're using the bottom of the barrel pinch hitters.
Yeah.
And with due respect to who they sent up to the plate, but if you have Chris Bryant as a possibility, and I know we're going to get to Dustin because I think he believes if you give a guy a night off, you give him a night off. They needed him.
Yeah.
How tired was that hamstring?
Right.
How bad is it injured? So if it is that much of a concern that you are going to damage your biggest and best trade asset, then shut him down. Today is July 22nd. Am I correct on the calendar? You've got 8 days till the deadline. You can do it retroactive to the night that his hamstring became so fatigued it went to sleep and you pulled him out of the game. If you want to have a 10-day stint on the IL, do it, because if you're afraid he's going to get injured and destroy any sort of trade possibilities, then that's the responsible thing to do. If you have deemed these games irrelevant, as I think that they have, then you need to preserve the health of your biggest trade asset. So I would totally accept and understand why the Cubs would announce later today Chris Bryant's on the 10-day injured list. And I wouldn't think it would brand him fragile. I think it would stamp the Cubs smart.
Do you think that that would hurt his negotiating or the Cubs negotiating side of the power position they're in? They're, you know, saying this guy is down, he's going to be traded. We are desperate to trade this man, as opposed to putting him in the lineup saying, nope, that's our player. We're going to wait till the last second here. We're not necessarily going to trade him. I think you are telling Major League Baseball that we are desperate to trade Chris Bryant,
Mark,
if you are to, Mark, to be transparent
about
it.
Get the tape from 2 weeks ago today. Isn't that essentially what Jed Hoyer did? Hey, baseball, we're desperate. Season's over. But, open for business. Come on, give me a call.
Yeah, he said that they were sellers, but I just think that's an extra level of transparency that would be unnecessary. And it's possible, too, that they've already shut him down in doing what they have done by this ambiguous title for with the fatigued hamstring. And then, as you said, not being available and instead having the backup catcher pinch hit and then having him play second base.
Great story.
Yeah.
Great story. Taylor McGregor did a terrific story on him before the game. But you don't want to see him up at the plate in
a
key moment like that.
He was playing second base last night. That was the bigger part. Wanted to see what would have happened if a ball had been hit to him at second base. He's never played the position at the big league level. So, you know, hopefully Javier Baez would have intercepted it and come over there. But it'll be interesting to see. If he's not in the lineup tonight, then they are telling you that they are either not taking any chances on their trade piece being injured, or they're doing a slow roll shutdown.
This is what's getting to bother me, though. It's about who's telling the truth and who's not. Because in the pregame, Ross acted like he, meaning Bryant, wanted to play, that he could be available. But Ross was thinking about giving him yesterday off regardless because he hadn't had time off since the All-Star game and wanted to give him a break. Well, which one is it? Okay. Shutting him down would not make him soft. That would not make him soft. And my number one thing about if you give a guy a day off, it's a catcher. Like the catcher, if you're going to give Wilson Contreras specifically the day off, then give him the damn day off. Get him off his leg. Bryant has shown that he can deliver in that pinch hit situation. And yes, they could have used him. They could have used him last night at some point. No, there's no doubt about it, which tells me that they're concerned. They didn't want to put him out there unless they absolutely had to.
And why are they concerned?
Because they want to trade him.
Exactly.
They want to keep that possibility open. So, yes, there's a rule in place. It's a manipulation of the rule. But the rule is out there that they're able to put him on that list. You don't have to have some, like, super strong note from a doctor that the guy is really
hurt. He's got a tired hamstring.
Right. It's exhausted.
I know. So that's a legit reason. Now, and he's so tired, he's unavailable to pinch hit. So you put in your veteran, what would you call him?
Backup catcher. Yes.
Nothing against Robinson Chirinos. He's a great story, but you would like to see Chris Bryant in that situation.
You knew right then and
the Cardinals?
And Ross, like, I hate using the word lying because it's more gamesmanship than anything. It's just not saying. He knew that Chris Bryant was never going to be available for that game. That comes from somebody above him saying, that's not David Ross saying, yeah, you know, I'd rather have Chirinos in this spot, or, you know, I'm not sure if KB's healthy.
Dustin, what did you think of Rossi trolling the media by saying that the Haymans and the Rosenthals are the two guys that he mentioned, I believe.
I'm just surprised he's paying that much attention to it. I'm surprised that he even decided to give it any play at all. But, you know, that's fine. If you want to throw John Heyman's name out there, go ahead.
I'm surprised he didn't mention you and Bruce Levine inside the club. A little high heat, maybe? A little high heat your way? Yeah?
You mean chin music?
No, chin
that's
music.
The segment, Grody. Come on, get it right.
Man, it's early.
Every Saturday, 9 to 11.
That's right. I listen.
I'm struggling how to answer that one.
ESPN was the latest national publication to assign one of its best writers to take a deep dive on the White Sox, exploring the relationship between Tony La Russa and his players locally. Do you still consider that dynamic an issue or a question that can't really be answered until October? Do you consider La Russa an asset, liability, or largely irrelevant in his role as manager of a team with enough talent and depth to have the American League's best record?
Here's what I think. It's been a long time in between blunders for Tony La Russa, and he's had some truly rough moments. But it seems like the players on a relatively outspoken team, they have been pretty good at saying nice things about Tony La Russa. It seems like it has been genuine. Tony La Russa had a slow start to his managerial tenure with the Chicago White Sox, and I do think it was because of a long layoff. I do think he was a little bit out of touch, obviously, with some of the rules. I think that he will be an asset come the postseason, and I think it's because Tony La Russa has a track record of it. We always have the stupid debate of does managing matter in baseball. I don't care what you say about the regular season, but it may matter in baseball's postseason more than any other sport, actually, just because of the every pitch matters aspect of it, knowing which relievers not to use during a game. And you could see Tony La Russa fiddling with that right now with where he, you know, putting Cody Hoyer in the sixth inning last night, trying different things, Kopech going for 40 pitches, trying to see what he's got in that regard. I think he's learned not to leave Lucas Giolito out there too long, or Dylan Cease last night, or have Matt Foster out there with nobody warming up in the bullpen. He's learned the hard way, but he's learned, I do think, that he will be an asset come the postseason.
Slow start to describe the first month of Tony La Russa's tenure and return to the dugout is being kind, Mark Grody. You're being tactful and diplomatic. I respect that. But it kind of glosses over the fact that he was bad. I mean, and he owned it. He owned up to it. He made mistakes. It took him a while to adjust and adapt. But I think that's died down some, and I do think you have to give him credit for the biggest thing that I think there's one intangible and one tangible. The tangible part is, as we have alluded to before, he's handled the bullpen and the pitching staff pretty well. That's what he's known for.
He's gotten better at
it. Ethan Katz, the dynamic with the staff is much better and smoother and less bulky and mechanical. I also think that as many injuries as they have incurred, you don't hear him as the spokesperson for this team on a daily basis, meeting the media twice a day. You don't hear any whining. You never hear Tony La Russa complain about what they don't have. It's always, who's here? I'll tell you how I feel later, after whether we win or lose. And it's always all business. And that tone is the right one for a team that in a clubhouse will have a dynamic that's, they're full of fun. They lead the league in fun and charisma and these kinds of things. So that's who they are. And he's allowed them to, you know, be true to their personalities. And I think that probably has taken an adjustment. And we see the signs and we see little glimpses here or there. Tim Anderson kidding with him in the dugout, mm-hmm. which was part of the story at ESPN. The hug with Gavin Sheets after the walk-off. These are guys bridging the generation gap and being and connecting themselves with their manager, their 76-year-old manager. So I think it's died down a little bit. I think he has become an asset, but I think he was a liability. And I think down the road, that dynamic will continue to improve.
They're 19 games over 500.
Yep.
They've had a gazillion, if that was actually a number, injuries. He's not a hindrance. If he was a hindrance with all those injuries, they would be like two games up on the Indians.
You surprised?
That he's not a hindrance?
Yes.
No, because I really do think that in baseball, I think it does. It's three games in one direction. It's plus or minus three. It's either he helps three games, or he's going to win you three, he's going to lose you three. But I agree that his value will come as they build to and then they get into the postseason.
That's a good question, Dave. I think
the 49ers signed linebacker Fred Warner to a 5-year, $95 million contract extension with a $40 million guarantee. Darius Leonard and the Colts are said to be discussing an even bigger deal. If that's the new marketplace for Pro Bowl caliber linebackers, how do you feel about the Bears paying such a price to lock up Roquan Smith, whose fifth-year option the team picked up but is eligible for an extension? Is that a no-brainer for Ryan Pace or too rich for the Bears' blood?
This is an interesting development across the NFL. You look at Fred Warner, that's an eye-popping number that maybe I just wasn't prepared for, but $40 million guaranteed and a $95 million five-year commitment to an inside linebacker who I don't think you're not overpaying him. He's really good. He's really good. Darius Leonard, even better, I think, potentially. One or the other, they're winning players, and they're part of defenses that are part of that team's identity. And the same is true here in Chicago. You can't get around that. Roquan Smith has developed, matured, emerged as a leader of that defense. And I think the more that that has happened off the field, we can have our opinions about how far he has come. But on the field, he's a baller. He's a player. He can go sideline to sideline with reckless abandon. And he's a guy that you want to be here for a very long time. And you have to pay for that. That's a privilege you're going to have to pay for if you're Ryan Pace. And so, yes, I do think this is a sign of things to come. And I do wonder if all of this conversation that we've had over the last 18 months about Allen Robinson's contract demands and the Bears' unwillingness to meet them is related in some part to their long-term plan. This is a lot of money. This is maybe a $20 million a year commitment under your cap to one player. And maybe they chose that if we're going to pick that one guy, it's going to be Roquan Smith and over Allen Robinson because that is who we are as a football franchise.
There's a lot of really good inside linebackers right now in the NFL, and we've mentioned a couple here right now. And Roquan, yeah, he is finally, and I think it really kicked in last year, living up to everything that was written about him and said about him in the scouting reports coming out of Georgia, not only being a tackles machine. He's always got 100 tackles. And then the solo, I love, like, solo tackles are one of my favorite stats for linebackers because it's just you and that guy on an island. Those are tricky tackles, man. Anybody could do the assist.
You, the running back, and the fear in your head.
Yeah.
Can you overcome that and make a tackle, bring him down?
Absolutely.
Grab some cloth. Roll your hips.
Yes.
Come on.
And Roquan is so good at that.
He is.
He is. Like,
he's a good tackler.
He's a good anticipator. He's a terrific tackler. There's no doubt about it. And I do love it, too, when Pagano and Fangio before him, when they would dial up blitzes for him, it seems like he always gets home. He's going to have 4 or 5 sacks a year if they allow him that luxury. And I would imagine that more of that will happen this year, too.
It's a good call.
For Roquan. If I was Roquan, you ready for this? I would... Like, if the Bears come to him and they're a little bit under the $95 million mark, which maybe they would be right now, that I would say play it out, Roquan. You know what I mean? Like get to that. Get to your Pro Bowl. Get all pro. Because this is the year that he will get attention. Because last year, he was mad. That,
yes.
And a lot of media were angry for him.
Point.
Right? A lot of media stated his case. So I think the national attention will grab on to what we locally have written and said about him, and he's going to have a better chance of getting some trophies, so to speak, this year.
Yeah,
I'm surprised by that money being tossed around the way it is for inside linebackers. As you guys both know, the game is developed. It's not the game that we necessarily grew up on. It's the game we've covered. It's the game we've watched. It's the game we loved. But that kind of money for an instant, that's like pass rusher money. That's cornerback money. Those are positions that I think are more valuable right now in a defense than your inside linebacker. I need to see. Here's what I need to do. I need to pay more attention personally. And you guys jump in, and you will anyway. Feel free. But I got to see like Roquan on third down, because I don't know if it's the Bears defense or if it's the Bears personnel, but they just seem to be a team that struggles mightily. I'm not looking at Pro Football Focus. I'm just talking about when I'm watching the games on Sundays and I got my legal pad in front of me. It seems like tight ends have field days against the Bears. And I know
a lot of that could be scheme, Dustin. I think that's a really good observation. Two reactions to what you said, though. Number one, I think the game is changing a little bit in that this shows a value for guys who can play three downs. The inside linebacker has been underpaid for too long. These guys make tackles. They make those plays. They're in the mix every single snap. And the other thing is on third down, to get better on third down, I wonder if they might consider doing what Grody alluded to. Roquan Smith can rush the passer.
Yeah, he gets home a lot, man. And Sean Desai, who is, as we know, we've told you exhaustively, he is a Vic Fangio disciple. That was the guy that he looked up to, his mentor, all of that stuff. I don't think he disliked Chuck Pagano, but he's going to probably take more elements from Vic Fangio than that of
Chuck
Pagano.
Before you pay him, just let's take a real deep dive on him on third down. That's all I'm saying.
Bears.
Okay, that's interesting. But you would not be against them investing
in him. I'm not against it. I like
him.
The kid. I think he says all the right things. I love his style of play. He's not afraid to make contact, which it seems there are some certain players on the Bears defense that don't even like contact. Ooh. Which is contact sport guys.
That's another segment. That's a good tease.
Secondary
there.
Guy? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
All right. That is the 5 at 5. Those are our opinions. What are yours? What do you think about the Yerminator? Is he going to be back? How about Chris Bryant? Should you wrap him in bubble wrap until the trade deadline passes in case he gets hurt because he is your biggest trade asset? If the White Sox are going up to Milwaukee tomorrow, they have the day off today. Is that a preview of the October I-94 World Series, which doesn't have quite the ring to it that Mark Rohde wants, but it's early. It's July. It may grow on you. How about Tony La Russa? Asset or liability? ESPN did the latest deep dive on him and his relationship with his players. And is Roquan Smith worth $95 million in terms of a contract, the size of which Fred Warner signed with the 49ers and Darius Leonard likely will with the Colts? Mark Grody in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.